This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning, Pastor Brian de Villiers, as we continue with the great New Testament conversions. And we're coming today to speak about the Philippian jailer. And I'm going to read from Acts chapter 16, from verses 16, and I'm going to take out different verses to make it clear to you. Reading from verse 16, this is what it says. Now it happened as he went to pray that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, and they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposed the prisoners had fled, drew his sword, and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Hear it again. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. The Philippian jailer. In our study this morning, and in this series that I've been doing on the great New Testament conversions, we are to consider the record of what must surely be one of the most dramatic conversions, that of the Philippian jailer. The emphasis throughout this incident is not only evangelistic, but it is instructive in that it, in the small section of Scripture before us, a great deal of basic biblical truth is presented in a clear and definite way. How thrilling it is to read of Paul and Silas, who, although they had been so cruelly treated, were able to pray and sing and praise at midnight, when humanly speaking their spirits were at the lowest possible ebb. Suddenly, while they were in the midst of their prayer and praise meeting in the prison cell, with the prisoners in the other cells listening to them, God stepped in. You hear that? God stepped in. And another soul was swept into the kingdom. And not only one other, but the whole family was gathered in. What exactly happened? Look at this strong and probable tough jailer and see. Number one, the shock he experienced. And we read this from verse 26. And this is what it says in verse 26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. There was an earthquake. To gain the force of this, we need to read verses 19 to 25. And we've read this already. But when their master saw their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, and brought the magistrates and said, "These men, Jews, exceedingly trouble our city." Then the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. That's what he did. He kept them securely. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loose. There's the account. The jailer was asleep because he felt confident that the prisoners were quite safe and secure in the inner prison. What a shock he received when suddenly the place began to shake and the prison doors opened. Yes, they were open. And what a great shock he received when he found that Paul and Silas had not attempted to escape. What an extraordinary prisoners these were. And we read the verses of verse 27 and 28. And the keeper of the prison, awakened from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposed the prisoners had fled, and drew his sword, and he was about to kill himself. You got that? He was about to kill himself. Verse 28. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do no harm, for we are all here." Tremendous. Not one person walked out. They were all there. I want to say to you this morning, every true conversion produces a shock. And there's a sense in which every true conversion is accompanied by an earthquake, by a mighty spiritual shaking of the Holy Spirit. Such was the case, yeah. Verse 29 tells us, "Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas." The jailer received not only a physical shock, but a spiritual and an emotional shock, a shock in his conscience. And this led to him asking the most important question of all time. Number two. The question he asked, verse 30, "And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Did he have any concern at all about his soul's salvation when he went to sleep that night? We do not know, but he certainly felt deeply concerned now. He probably knew of the conversion of Lydia that we've read about in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 16, Acts 16, and of the demon-possessed girl in verses 16 and 18, the one whom Paul said to the demons, "Come out." What we can be quite sure about is that he suddenly became convinced that he was a lost man and that his greatest, most urgent need was to be saved. No one asked a question like this unless he or she realizes his or her awful peril and danger. It is when we realize that God's wrath is upon us. God's wrath is upon us. We read here from John chapter 3, and I want us to read the account. John chapter 3. And I want to read from verse 36, and this is what it says to us in verse 36. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Do you hear what it says? It says, the wrath of God. that we are perishing without Jesus. We are perishing. That's what it tells me. When we read 2 Corinthians, it tells us this very clearly. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we read here from verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. And that we are spiritually dead. Ephesians 2 verse 1 tells us that very clearly, that we are spiritually dead. We read this again, Ephesians 2 verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. And we cry out, what must I do to be saved? Let me ask you this. Have you asked this most important question yourself? What is the answer to this question? And that's what we're going to answer this morning. Number three, the answer he received. What did the jailer receive? Verse 31 of Acts chapter 16. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. There's a whole sermon in this sentence, and how ready Paul and Silas were to preach it. Some preachers are not, and some preachers are vague or too long-winded, but there are two men who were ready to give a concise and clear terms the answer to the important question asked by the jailer. In this one brief sentence, in verse 31, several vital truths are emphasized. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household. So there are several things we want to look at. Number one, justification by faith alone plus nothing. We've been justified through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. Through justification, all our sins have been forgiven, because the word justification, if we simplify it, means just as if I had never sinned. That's how God sees us. When we come to Christ and we're covered in the righteousness of Christ, God sees us just as if we had never sinned. You see, it's justification by faith alone, plus nothing. It's not Jesus plus this and Jesus plus that. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. And we learn from this, believe on. The jailer did not have to believe about Christ only. He had to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you get that? You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There we have it. Jesus is the only Savior. Let's get that clear. This is made clear to us in John chapter 14 and verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Do you get that? Acts chapter 4 verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus above everything else. We need to hear that. We believe in Jesus, on our Lord's full title. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, indicating his deity, his humanity, his messiahship. You see, he's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's Jesus, the one who will save them from the sin. He's Lord of all. Number five, the assurance of salvation. The jailer could be sure that he's saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You will. It's not, there's no questions about it. You shall be saved. That's the assurance we have, the assurance of salvation. Number six, it is salvation now, not next week, next month, next year. We are saved the moment we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ever afterwards through faith in Him and Him alone. Listen to what John chapter 5 tells us. It's an amazing verse of scripture. I love it. John 5 verse 24. And this is what we are told here in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. He shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Isn't that wonderful? You've passed from death to life, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number seven, salvation is for everybody. The jailer could be saved by believing, and all his household could be saved in the same way by believing. Your household, you've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it tells us. You've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans 10, verse 11 and 12, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You got that? For there's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what verse 13 tells us. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It makes us quite clear to us. Now we look at verse 32. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, Acts 16. And to all who were in his house, there it tells you, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all were in his house. We can just imagine the careful and prayerful explanation of the gospel that Paul and Silas would give to the jailer and his household. You see, this gospel of the kingdom needs to be preached to all the world as a witness, teaching them to observe all things, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. There's a great need today for what we might rightly describe as teaching evangelism. We need to teach people, give them understanding. Number four, faith is exercise. That's what it tells us. Faith is exercise. Verse 32 of Acts chapter 16. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his household. Verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. There you are. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He received Christ as his Savior. John 1 verse 12, to as many as believed him, received him, to them gave he power to become the sons and the daughters of God, to as many as believe on his name. They received, they believed. And then it tells us, verse 34 in Acts 16, now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. What a beautiful scene this brings before us, a whole household sitting down to a meal, rejoicing together in the Savior. And look at verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes where they were beaten, and immediately and he and his family were baptized. Here was the evidence of the tremendous change that had taken place in the heart and life of this man. He actually washed their stripes where they were beaten. He set food before them. A true change of heart will quickly show itself in a changed life. The Bible tells me that. Remember when Zacchaeus, that short man, came to Jesus, he said, Lord, if I've taken money fraudulently, half my goods I give to the poor. I give back to them again. Jesus didn't have to tell him that. He wanted to do it because something changed in Zacchaeus's life. But to conclude our study, notice that two lots of water were used as evidence of the true conversion of this household. A little water was needed to bathe their backs of Paul and Silas where they had been beaten. But a lot of water was needed for another purpose. Think about it when they were baptized. Number five, the confession he made. We get this from verse 33. The confession he made, and he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes. Immediately he and his family were baptized. Undoubtedly, the jailer and his family confessed the Lord Jesus with their mouth. If you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you are saved. They also confess by baptism. They were baptized, which undoubtedly Paul and Silas would have explained to them. Notice about their baptism. There was something urgent about it. Verse 33 tells us that they were baptized the same hour of the night, straight away, straight away. Secondly, there was something corporate about it. They were baptized with others. He and all his house, they all trusted Christ. They all confessed him by baptism, because baptism tells you that we've experienced something in our lives, that, and it, baptism speaks of a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Number three, there was joy and gladness about it. What does it say? What does it say to us? It does not actually say it, but we can no longer doubt that this was experienced by all, as it's recorded in Acts 8 and verse 39. If we turn to Acts 8 and verse 39, this is what it says to us. Acts 8 and verse 39. Now, when they had come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. What? He went on his way rejoicing. It tells us he went on his way rejoicing. And the same thing is found with the Philippian jailer. They rejoice. Now, when they brought them into the house, he set food before them. He rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. They believed in God, all his household. Let me ask you this morning, as we've studied together the conversion of the Philippian jailer, have you ever said yes to Jesus? Have you ever said, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the divine Son of God. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross of Calvary for all my sins, past, present, and future. I accept the finished work of the cross of Calvary. I accept what you've done for me. Your death, you died that my sins might be forgiven. Past, present, and future. All my sin has been dealt with on the cross of Calvary. If that is you this morning, won't you say yes to Jesus? Just like the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I'm going to lead you in a short prayer this morning. Just put your hand on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the divine Son of God. I believe you died on the cross of Calvary, that all my sins have been cleansed away, past, present, and future, through the finished work of the cross. I put my full trust, my full weight in you. I know I've been justified. I've been cleansed of all my sin. I know now I have a new beginning with Jesus. I'm going to walk in newness of life through the power of the Spirit, and you will help me day by day to live for you, that others will see Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you've been born again. Welcome into the family of God this morning. If you need some help, my friends, we have counselors at Radio Cape Pulpit. We'll only be too glad to help you and assist you. 021-180-5744. 021-180-5744. You can contact me, Pastor Brian, on my number at my church office, which is 021-552-4096. 021-552-4096. Monday to Thursday from 9 o'clock in the morning till 12 noon. God bless you and have an incredible day today, and make Jesus the center of everything in your life. I thank you, and God bless you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.